From Canterbury Bankstown to the city of Blacktown. From Sutherland to Hornsby. Now we're talking Sydney.
Craig Rucastle for breakfast on 702 ABC Radio Sydney.
Do you have a plan for the end of your life? Last week we saw the government put a lot of money into home care. So for people to stay in their home, to keep people at home as they age and give them better access to nursing and cleaning. While many people also want to die in the comfort of their own homes, less than 15% of Aussies actually manage to do so. One organisation that's hoping to change that is Violet, a not-for-profit that helps people talk about the last stages of life. And their CEO, Melissa Reeder, joins us now. Morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Craig. Thanks for having me in.
No problems. A conversation probably some people would like to avoid, but what do you kind of know about that people want to die at home? Has there been kind of polls of this?
Yeah, look, there's plenty of evidence and research on this, and I think it just probably stands the conversation test too, right? 70% of people want to be at home. In the comfort and warmth and familiarity of home, surrounded by love and people and with the right access to services and supports. But less than 15% get to do that today. Really, one in two people die in hospital, and that's our least preferred place to die.
Mm.
And it's also, you know, enormously difficult for our public health systems to manage. You can see that in the media every other day.
So as part of these changes we saw about home care and that, part of that was also to give some funding. There's now people who wish to die at home can access up to $25,000. What is that for? What is that meant to cover? How is that meant to work?
Yeah, look, it's not clear yet. They haven't, the government hasn't released detailed program guidelines, but I just want to say it's a really welcome reform because there is this really big gap between the experience people want and that they deserve and the one that they're having. So we just really welcome the reform and the policy shift. But I think the point to think about and to ask your listeners is, you know, dying is not necessarily just a clinical event. It's not just about medicine. So what we'd really like to see is some of that funding go towards, you know, human emotional support, helping people have those really important conversations that we do tend to avoid, helping people and their families have a meaningful plan for how those 3 months might play out and getting them access to the services they're absolutely going to need through that time.
Because as you say, so many people want to die at home, but it's a difficult thing. And what happens is somebody gets really sick, and they end up getting put in an ambulance, taken to hospital, and they end up being there for the rest of their life and dying there. What do you have to do? What is the planning needed to make sure that that doesn't happen, that that's not the way it ends for you?
Yeah, look, first of all, it's having the conversation, and all too often that just doesn't happen. You know, that's just a conversation that most people are pretty avoidant of, but so much more is possible if you can have that conversation. I think recognizing that someone wants to be in their own home is the first thing, and then making sure that you've got alignment across the family members, you know what's required, and that all of the people in that group have the right emotional support and practical support to help that person through it. It's a gift and a real legacy if that's possible for people, but there's a lot of planning and preparation that people need.
We hear people talk about writing living wills. Is it almost something that you want to put down and you want to write down and say, look, I really, you know, I know this time's going to come, but I want to stay in the home at this point? You know, is it something, though, that, I mean, in the end, if an emergency happens, can the ambulance be ignored and somebody stay at home, or is there circumstances where you have to end up in hospital?
Look, there's nothing standardised about the last couple of months of someone's life, so I think things are going to look different for different people. But the key thing is if people want to stay in their own home and they have the right services and supports to help them do that, it's entirely possible. Palliative care is absolutely one of those services, but sadly not enough people get access to palliative care, and a lot of people are still quite confused or maybe a bit frightened about what palliative care is and means. So helping break down some of those stigmas and getting those services in nice and early to help that family through. Just to your point on, you know, emergency presentations, Craig, that is sometimes necessary, but often that happens when people are just totally unprepared and they don't know what else to do, so they call an ambulance. Yeah. We need to prepare people for that.
If this is something you've struggled with your family or dealt with, let us know, 1-300-222-702. I'm sure there's a lot of families dealing with this issue. I mean, let me briefly be the the boring economists and say, well, it's much less inefficient. You know, if you've got palliative care in a hospital, then that person can deal with several patients at once. If they're suddenly having to go to everyone's house, isn't this an incredibly expensive way to deal with this problem?
It's actually the complete opposite of that. So, again, countless studies show that care in the home is not only what people want, but it's so much more economically beneficial and sensible. And when we're facing an ageing population, Craig, we've got deaths doubling here in this country in the next 15 years, and our health and aged care systems are really stretched today. You can imagine what that's going to look like in the years ahead. So let's think about an opportunity in time where we can start to give people the experience they want, as well as have money better spent in the health and aged care system.
So this $25,000 has been put up by the government to help people die at home. What do you hope that it can be spent on? So palliative care, psychological care, what do you hope this is going to achieve?
First of all, we want some of that money to go towards helping individuals and families have conversations and make plans, meaningful plans, for the last stage of their life before 3 months, because it's a pretty imperfect science, right? That's a lot of uncertainty. Help people be prepared for that earlier, and then absolutely access to the right clinical care and in-home care equipment. And that has to be scalable. It has to be for people right across the country, and parts of it have to be around the clock. Crises don't happen in business hours. And again, that 2 a.m. moment is probably what lands people up in the ED.
And if you, as a family, if you're having this conversation together about how to plan this, do you need to then talk to your doctor about it? Do you need to talk to the hospital about it? Or is it something you just have to have gotten sorted within your own family about what's going to happen?
Oh, look, I think GPs are a great source of wisdom and advice. And there's a lot of other services. You can have a look at all the work of our not-for-profit at violet.org.au. There's a national network of volunteer guides now that are there to help you open and support these conversations and capture really what matters most so you can make a plan around it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is something to really think about now. If you're at that stage of life, get onto it early. Don't leave it to the last minute, because as you say, so many people, 70% of people want to die in their own home, but we're achieving very only 15% actually make it happen. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Melissa. It's a fascinating conversation. We'll try and continue it here on Mornings.
Thanks, Craig.
And Melissa Reader, the CEO of Violet, a not-for-profit that helps people talk about the stages of their life.
Breakfast with Craig Rucastle
on 702 ABC Radio Sydney.